11 this evening. We're going to go to several places in the Gospels. Thought about doing a Bible sword drill, but I think I'll wait. Nicole's not here tonight. Nicole always liked the, she always liked the sword drill, so we'll wait. Yeah. Her and my wife have something in common. But that's all right. I wanted to take a look at a few different references about one specific subject we'll get into here in a little bit. And just continuing to pray about the Lord's leading in regards to maybe a book of the Bible that we could work through in the evening. One of the questions that came up, thank you, Jan, in our discussion with the man, or my discussion with the man, was, let me find this thing, it's in this pocket. It just asked amongst different things. One of them was in regards to preaching expositionally, which is when you take a book of the Bible and you just go verse by verse by verse and you kind of work your way through, or topically, if I had a preference, or and it's been, sometimes that's, I don't know if you ever noticed, sometimes that can be a contentious debate, you know, wow, only expositional preaching is the best and only topical preaching will do. And I always find you can't help but preach on topics when you preach through the Word of God. Eventually they're going to come up one way or another. So it just didn't matter to me. But either way, just pray that the Lord would lead and guide me. I want the Lord's will to be done. And so He knows our hearts. He knows where in the Word and His Word will be the biggest benefit for us. And so I would ask you to do that. Just pray. My wife and I are going to be away for a couple of days this week. It was a Christmas gift. We've done it before where we say, let's go away for a couple of days. That's our Christmas gift. So that's what we're doing. All the way to Amherst Shore is where we're going. So anyway, it provides us with an opportunity to rest and pray a little bit. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping the Lord will sort of lay on my heart, where we can go in the next little while. But in the meantime, the topic of prayer has been something that I've been mulling over and reading a little bit more about. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about this topic this evening, the topic of prayer. It's one that we spend a lot of time considering and talking about anyway, but we never ever exhaust that subject. So anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. Before we do, just a couple of more things. I mentioned that my wife and I are going away. Pray for safety as we travel. Again, we're not going far, but the weather is going to be a little bit iffy tonight and tomorrow, I guess. I'm not really sure what to expect. As Brent mentioned, let's continue to be in prayer for Peter and Mary's grandson. I guess it's Chris and Victoria are their names. I don't know the names of their children, but let's keep them in prayer and just ask the Lord to minister to their needs, whatever those needs are. Obviously, we know there's some obvious needs in regards to a home and trying to get reestablished, and the Lord knows how to take care of those things. But just keep them in prayer, and you know, this, I appreciate this church's graciousness in regards to helping others, and so we'll just let the Lord lead, and as God leads, we can give a little bit towards that need that they have, and I know that that'll be a blessing and an encouragement to them. The other thing I wanted to mention was the kids' night. We had hoped to have another kids' night. And just kind of mulling around a few dates, trying to get the best night where all the kids will be available and we can have some more fun. So I haven't forgotten. Sarah's, her eyes lit right up when I said that. So, anyway, where did Aiden go? Anyway, keep that in mind. And we're going to pick a date here. We had thought about a date in February, but don't know if that's going to work for everybody being here. But anyway, so we're going to have another kids' night. And just looking forward, just having some fun here at the church with our young people. Keep them in your prayer as well. So, Luke chapter 11. We're gonna take a look at this topic of prayer this evening. And one of the things that instigated me thinking about this was a prayer that I had heard recently. I'm going to pray, and then I want to share this prayer with you because it's pretty precious. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us today. And Lord, we have just enjoyed fellowship with other believers. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would continue to encourage us tonight, and especially on this topic of prayer. Father, would you just allow us the privilege, and it's so necessary, Lord, that we do anyway, to really remember, grab a hold of, or be reminded, or even to learn a little bit more of how precious and how wonderful, how important prayer is. And so I just ask, Father, that you would teach our hearts tonight, and Lord, allow us to indulge in this topic, and explore it a little bit more, and we would just pray that you would have your way with it in our hearts, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. There was, we tend a co-op throughout the week on Tuesday mornings. Eliana, sorry, Ellie, I've got to use you in this little story here. Eliana attends a co-op. We homeschool, and this provides her with an opportunity to do a few different things. They teach different classes there. Photography was one. She had a speech class that she really enjoyed, standing out in front of the other kids and giving a speech. And anyway, so they do this co-op, and they work on different things, and they can do their homeschool work there as well and associate with other kids. There's probably 25 or so kids there in total, and that's once a week over across town at Emmanuel. Joel Eastwood and Tara do a great job. They head that up, and there's all kinds of kids and parents from different places around the city that come. But I'm the guy that's in charge with for the gym time with the littler kids, so I have a half an hour, I get over there, and I've got to entertain those kids and get the blood pumping and have some fun with them for a half an hour. So anyway, when we start, we always start in a word of prayer, and I close with a word of prayer. So at the end of our time last week, I call the kids over, okay, we're all done, we're going to close in prayer. And we take a knee, and the little girl, she's the sweetest little girl. She's probably only about 5 years old, and she's just one of those, she just will just melt you, at least me anyway, like you can't. It's hard to say no to children like that. Isn't a good thing? Where's Nancy? She's not hearing me. Okay, good. So she's just this cute little girl, and we're in our circle, and I say, okay, guys, we're going to pray. And she looks at me, and she says, can I pray? Well, how do you say no? When a young child asks if they can pray, it's hard to say, no, you can't pray. But I had to be careful because I wanted to have a time of prayer with the kids. So she looked at me and she said, "Can I pray?" And I said, "Well, you know, would you like to say the amen?" No. I want to pray. So it's like I felt the Lord going, "Now what are you going to do?" So I said, "Yeah, okay. Why don't you pray?" And then I said, "Do any other kids want to pray?" And a few of them said they did. So I thought, well, let's do this. She's going to start, and then after she's finished praying, if anybody else wants to pray, you pray, and we'll do that until we're all done, and then I'll close in prayer. And there was, I think, three in total who prayed, and then I prayed. But here's what happened. The little girl, as soon as I said yes and we're started, I'm watching her, and she folds her little hands, and she closes and squeezes her little eyes, and everybody, all the other children are. And I can't help but peek at one or two times there. And then this is what I hear. She goes, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I'm thinking, oh, she's praying the Lord's Prayer. Okay. And then all of a sudden, there were 10 children there. All of the other kids chime in. And now all of them are saying the Lord's Prayer, including me, because I can't. So we're all reciting the Lord's Prayer. But what was so funny was this little girl, she started off kind of soft and quiet. And then as the other kids all of a sudden piped in, it was like she had this sense of power. She realized that she was kind of commanding the group all of a sudden. That she sort of sensed that, and I heard her voice change. It was so funny. She went from sweet and quiet to bold and loud, and by the end of the prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And she just got right into that prayer. It was so great. But you know, and then the other children prayed, and I closed in prayer. But it got me thinking about prayer. You know, that little time that we had together, I believe, was pleasing to the Lord. I don't believe that the Lord sent an angel who walked around our circle with a notepad and a pen and critiqued what we said, how we said it. Did we use enough words? Were they theologically inclined? Were they big enough? Were they small enough? I believe that the intentions of our heart, and as these children themselves are learning to pray and who the Lord is and how he hears us, it was just a really precious time. And sometimes as we grow older, sometimes we tend to forget that prayer isn't a performance. Okay? You know, if we take nothing away from this evening, just remember, prayer isn't a performance. Sometimes, look, I have had some very sloppy, very unappealing prayer times with the Lord. I think we can all agree that there are times when it's not a very nice thing. It's a very raw and a very honest time with the Lord. And that's prayer. Sometimes prayer is a beautiful soliloquy. See, I shouldn't use that word. How do you say soliloquy? Soliloquy, right? A soliloquy, something that's very poetic and very, you know, very honorable and holy. And that's not wrong either. It's not wrong to want to just pour your heart out to God however he leads you. But it's also not wrong to simply say, Lord, help me. Because I've prayed that prayer as well. You know, on the road, a little bit of ice, Lord, help me. And I've meant it in that moment. And the Lord has heard me in that moment and has helped. So prayer takes sometimes different forms and different shapes and sizes. Sometimes we don't say a word when we pray. It's all in here. You know, sometimes I don't pray out loud on purpose because I know not only is the Lord listening, but so is the enemy. It's none of his business sometimes what I have to talk to the Lord about. Let me just share a few thoughts here before we go to Luke on prayer. No, I guess I won't. I don't have that sheet with me. I very rarely ever have notes. I have notes tonight, and I forgot one page, so that's okay. Luke 11, verse 1. Look what it says. In regards to prayer, this is pretty interesting. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, this is referencing the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was praying, we'll just focus on this for a second. Do you ever wonder or ask yourself, why did Jesus pray? He came from heaven, came to earth. He's going back to heaven. He was here for a short period of time, fully God, fully man. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, spent time in prayer. And from what I see, he spent a lot of time in prayer. And sometimes, you know, we might wonder to ourselves, and I know I did. I sort of asked myself this question back a long time ago. Why would the Lord have to pray? And you know, there's very obvious reasons. I believe it's because he was setting an example. But that's down on the list somewhere. I think the main reason was because he loved his Father, and he desired to spend time in the Father's presence, communing with him and honoring him and pouring his heart out to him. That essentially is, I believe, what the Lord was doing. Now, I don't know all the specifics, only the Lord does, but I believe that's why the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He never had to ask for forgiveness like I do. He never had to repent or confess his sins like we do, like I do. But he still spent time with the Father in prayer. And so it's a great challenge for us to know if Jesus spent time in prayer with the Father, then that's an example to us. There's something, and here's what I don't want. I don't want us to feel like, oh, I don't pray enough. The pastor reminded me tonight that I'm doing a bad job. I got to pray more. I know, Lord, help me. No. But here's the sentiment of my heart. It's there's something that we might be missing in the value and the preciousness of prayer. And Jesus Christ spent time with the Father often, I believe, for that reason, because it not only was it that communication, but it probably comforted him and strengthened him. We know he prayed for strength when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He poured his heart out to God. But spending time with the Father was something that he desired to do. And in my mind, it can't be a responsibility. It can't be just a you know, something that I've got to add to my be a good Christian checklist. It has to be something that I realize is a privilege. And it's not a performance, but it is a privilege that I get to talk to the creator of the universe, just me. I can take up as much time as I want to. He never cuts me off or shuts me down and says, okay, I've heard enough, carry on. I can just wallow in his presence, and I can communicate with him. I can talk to him. I can pour my heart out to him. Here, Jesus is doing this. Jesus was praying. It says also that he was praying in a certain place, and I like that often we find Jesus on the seashore or in the mountains or in the garden. And I still can't believe that I had that tremendous privilege of being in Israel, and I can see it so clearly in my mind, looking over at Old Jerusalem, those brown brick walls that we're so used to seeing, and I'm standing in the Garden of Gethsemane or behind a gate on a path with lots of other people in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I thought, you know, it was so neat to consider what it would have been like for Christ and his disciples to be on this side of that the hillside, looking over at Jerusalem and praying for the needs of the people. And there's something about the places that we pray. Jesus Christ would often go to certain places to pray, and here he was praying in a certain place. And it says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, we're not going to get into the Lord's Prayer here this evening. I want to just leave it at verse 1 and go to a few other places. But the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? They watched him. They seen him praying. That's what instigated the question. So they were somehow doing what they were doing, and like me, they were peeking on the Lord who was praying, and they thought to themselves, somehow or in some way, they thought, we need to talk to him about this. I want to know how to pray the way that Jesus prays. And so again, the disciples, it says, not one, but the disciples, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us, not just the one, but all of them to pray. So they come before the Lord. And they say, we want you to teach us to pray. And here's the question that I jotted down, the reason for the notes here tonight, is did the disciples know how to pray at all? Well, yeah, they knew how to pray. Sure they do. They knew how to pray, and yet they seen the Lord praying, and there was something that they saw that they were intrigued by. And here's what I jotted down. Number one, in regards to why did they ask him to teach them to pray? Speculative. I don't know their minds or exactly the reason why, but here's what I surmise. I believe number one could be true. I jotted down because they had in their presence one who they watched in prayer who had no doubt that God was hearing him. When Jesus prayed, there was never, oh, I hope the Lord is hearing me. I hope my Father hears my prayers. They watched Jesus pray, and they were watching someone that had no doubt that the Father was listening to his prayers. He prayed perfectly in God's will. He prayed believing. He prayed with authority. He prayed with comfort, with zeal, and with confidence. And however Christ prayed, he prayed, and the disciples were watching, and they were intrigued enough to say, can you teach us to do this? Teach us to pray the way that you do. And what's so great about that is as we continue to read, and we're not going to tonight, but if you know the passage, and as you read ahead, you realize that Christ did. He accommodated. He said, yeah, sure. It's a good question. It's a great idea. Let me show you a few things. And this is what got me thinking about it. Those children knew this. They all recited it. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed. The disciples said, teach us to pray. Second point quickly, perhaps they realized the value in asking Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how to pray. I mean, if you want to learn to pray really well, I've got books in the office, and Andrew Murray, School of Prayer, probably many of you know it, great book, and there's a lot in there we can learn about prayer. And if I had Andrew Murray here tonight, if that was possible, I would say, hey, share some insights on how we can pray better, and he would give us great, great heaps of wisdom, and we would be encouraged and challenged. But imagine having the one we pray in whose name himself, Jesus Christ, here, and we were to say, hey, what do you think? What can you teach us? What can we learn? Of course we would ask him. And so the disciples, I'm sure, saw the value in saying, you know, maybe we should ask this, the Messiah, the Son of God, in regards to prayer. What can we learn? What can he teach us? And so the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them to pray, and I'm encouraged by that. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. The reason why I'm encouraged by that is because I can ask the Lord the same question. Lord, teach me to pray. Every once in a while in my life, I'll have a time of prayer with the Lord that seems to exceed some of the others. It just seems to really hit home to me that I'm in the presence of God and that we're drawing closer, and I can sense his love and I can sense his listening ear. And there are times in prayer when I say, why don't I do this more often? Why don't I spend more time in prayer? And so we don't ever want to get to the place where we're not praying, and sometimes we need to ask the Lord to help us, to teach us some things about prayer. And so if we're looking to the Lord, as the disciples did, if we're watching the Lord in the Scriptures, and we're trying to identify some things that we might want to pick up, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 has something for us. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, or before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. If you go back through this, just this chapter, you'll find that there was all kinds of things going on. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, doing what he does, casting out demons and teaching, and all kinds of things happening, laying hands on the sick. And Simon's wife's mother lay sick of the fever, his mother-in-law, and he healed her, and on and on. You can go through this chapter, and you can see that Christ wasn't just kicking back all day with nothing better to do, and then he'd get up the next day and went to prayer. He spent a busy day. He was out doing the Father's business all day long, and then it says in the very next verse, verse 35, In the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So one little tidbit that we can learn from the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were to ask him tonight, Lord, teach us to pray. What can we see? What can you show us? We would see that Jesus prayed early in the morning. Now, this is not to mean that this is the only time that we should pray, okay? I'll make that clear. It's not always. Sometimes people work nights. They don't get home until early in the morning, okay? So this isn't a rule. The Bible doesn't say you should always pray in the morning no matter what. Make sure that you do. But one of the things that we see here is that after a long, busy day of casting out and battling with the darkness of the devil and healing people as he pours out, he spends some time with the Father refueling in his presence, refueling spiritually in the presence of the Lord God. And that's one of the reasons why it's a good idea to pray sooner than later. And I won't say first thing in the morning when you get out of bed, you should pray. First thing in the morning, I don't even know who I am until I have a cup of coffee. So I understand it's, you know, we have these great intentions. That being said, there is certainly something about praying sooner than later. Let me share just a few things that I jotted down here. It doesn't mean that he didn't pray at other times, right? Just because he got up in this passage in the morning early to pray doesn't mean that he didn't pray at other times. Of course he did, and so do we. Matter of fact, we're taught to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So we pray all the time, anytime, anywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ did that as well. I jotted down that doesn't mean that he didn't pray at other times. He did as well. And we'll see that. Also, we ought to start our day in prayer, or start any object, any project, any task, any challenge that we do with prayer. We seek the Lord first. And that might mean before you put your shoes on, before you put your socks on, or before you uncover yourself from the blankets, whatever is necessary. But the idea is that we look to the Lord first. We seek the Lord's help, his direction, his protection first. That's wise. And we see that that's what Jesus did. Really, what else is there to know other than Christ did it? And so it's a good idea for us to see that and to recognize that before we do anything, we should make sure that we talk to the Lord first. Let me read this as well. Our enemies are waiting. God already knows what waits for us in the day, and we sometimes have not because we ask not. So when it comes to prayer, it's good to consider that first. Remember when Joshua was approached by those fellows who had moldy bread, and they had traveled, they said, a long ways. We come from other kingdoms. Look at our bread. It's moldy because we've been on the road a long time. Look at our shoes. They're all wore out with holes in them because we've been traveling. We're not neighbors. We're so far away. And so we just heard about you guys, and we came because we want to make a league with you. We want to be at peace with you. We don't want you to be at war with us. And so Joshua and the men, they did. They made peace with them. And so, yeah, sure, no problem. Sounds good. But there's a verse there in that passage that says that they took of their victuals and sought not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. In other words, they looked at the moldy bread and that, okay, well, that's it. We're convinced. And then they found out following this that they were lied to and that they had made a league. They made peace with someone that God had said, you're going to go into their land and you need to drive them out because this is the land I have for you. They kind of ruined that for themselves. And they ended up having some drawers of waters and hewers of wood, but they also had the enemy in the land. What's interesting about that is that because they didn't pray first, they had to live with their decision. And so it's an example that sometimes it's wise, I would say often, and every time it's wise, to go to the Lord first and say, Lord, you might know something I don't know about this. You probably do. You see things about this situation that I don't see. So I want to come to you first. Keep me safe. Protect me in this situation with this decision about a job or with my health or with this individual. Just protect me. Go before me. Is this the right decision? And that doesn't take necessarily a morning cup of coffee and a devotional time. We can pray that anytime. The idea is that we do it sooner than later, and we're careful to make sure that we do it. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus prayed first thing. Secondly, Jesus made time for prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus made time for prayer. We've all heard people say, maybe we've said it ourselves, all we can do now is pray. All we can do now is pray. We've done everything. We've spent all of our efforts and all of our time doing everything we could, and we wrestled and we fought with this, and we just can't figure it out. We can't settle this problem or this issue, so all we can do now is pray. Well, Jesus was careful to make time for prayer. In verse 16 of chapter 5 in Luke, the Son of God, it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now the multitudes were pressing in on him, and he was healing people, and he had a lot going on, as we read also in Mark chapter 1. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, withdrew himself from that. He literally said, all right, I need to leave the multitudes, and I'm going to purpose to find a place for me and the Father to spend some time together. He literally withdrew himself. And that tells me that it's important for us as Christians from time to time, though our lives are busy, to say, all right, I'm taking a break from the busyness. I'm going to withdraw myself and spend some time in the Father. There are seasons when we do this. Matter of fact, my wife and I spent some time in prayer for several days, and we were in a season of seeking the Lord's will, as we knew he was working in our lives and leading us elsewhere, and we weren't sure what he was doing, and so we spent some time in prayer. And a year and a half later, here we are. You know, and that's why it's so important to withdraw from time to time. You know, I don't want to get to heaven someday and find out that I missed a whole bunch of blessings that God had for me, because I just didn't slow down, I didn't stop and let the Lord just quietly speak to me. And sometimes we have to withdraw ourselves. Say, you know what? I'm hanging up the phone. I'm locking the door. I'm shutting I'm locking the bedroom door or the car door, and I'm going to take some time to just be alone with the Lord. And it's important that we do that, and we see that's exactly what Christ did. Jesus made time for prayer. He took himself away from the hustle and bustle of the world around him and spent time alone in prayer. And it's important, I believe, that we do the same thing. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. This is a sad little passage. We'll know it when we get to it. But I want to demonstrate a third point. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Peter was going to have some challenges. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Now think of that. Jesus Christ, knowing, because he is God, knowing that Satan was going to work away at Peter, prayed on Peter's behalf to the Father. I mean, we do this, and this is as the church, we've learned this, and this is what we do. Jesus Christ prayed for others. He didn't leave that up to us. He didn't say, well, I'm God. You pray to me. You talk to me. You talk to the Father about these things, but you're the ones that have to plead. You're the ones that have to pray. You're the ones that have to come before the Father, not me. Christ set that example. Not the example of prayer, but the example of the necessity to pray for others. He said to Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you. And so it's so important that we have that same attitude and that same desire to pray for others. Let me give you just quickly a couple of other references you can check out. In John chapter 17, verse 9, Jesus said, I pray for them. And this is a beautiful prayer, by the way, of Jesus in chapter 17. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He says to the Father. In his prayer, he said in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. And this is what's so beautiful about this. Jesus Christ here, as he's praying with his disciples, he says to the Father, neither pray I for these alone, not just for these guys that are here with me today, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So through the word, through the teaching, through the efforts of the disciples, those who would believe on Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I pray for them too. Well, do you know what that means? Us. Because the efforts of the disciples continues even to this day. As they mentored others and discipled others who got saved, those people discipled and mentored others who got saved, and so on and so forth in generation after generation. And the gospel has spread throughout the world until it reached Canada. And we here tonight at some point in our lives heard the gospel. We believed in Jesus Christ, and Jesus has already prayed for you. He said, I don't pray just for these here, Father, but also for all of those who will come to know me through their word, through the efforts, the teaching of the disciples. He prayed for others. He even prayed for us all those years ago. He prayed for the strong. He prayed for the weak. He prayed for the saved. He prayed for the unsaved. He prayed to his Father for us. He interceded for us. And so we see a third example of how we can pray. If we come to Christ and we say, Lord, teach us to pray. We watch his life. We would say, well, number one, he prays first thing. Before he eats, before he blesses, before he gets up a great while before the day, before he takes on this challenge. And we do the same thing. We pray first. We seek God's wisdom, his permission, his blessing, his protection first. That's the idea. Secondly, Jesus made time for prayer. Specifically, I think I'm going to spend some time in prayer. Not, oh, I got to pray. I haven't prayed yet today. It's almost time for bed. I'm going to set aside a couple of minutes. I get it. We're busy. That happens. But from time to time, as the Spirit leads, it's good to say, you know, I'm going to park the car at the park, and I'm going to walk around the pond, and I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. I'm going to withdraw from the world, the busyness even of my own day, and I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And thirdly, Jesus prayed for others. Jesus prayed for others. I'm not suggesting that we don't. I know that we do. I'm just suggesting that when we watch Christ, when we follow Christ, and when we have a mind like Christ, then we will pray for other people. We'll see the needs around us, and we'll say, Lord, help this individual. Protect this individual. Bless this individual. Save this person who is unsaved. When somebody asks me to pray for them, or when I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I often do it right there. As a matter of fact, I don't remember, was it recently? But I asked somebody recently if I could pray with them. I guess it was at the men's breakfast. It was right there on the spot. They were sharing something with me, it was a heartfelt matter, and they were concerned. And I just said, "Look, can I pray with you right now?" And we prayed right there on the spot. And then I remembered to pray again. But sometimes we don't always remember. We can pray right there. Nehemiah did. When the king said, "What's the matter with you? You seem like you're sick. What's wrong? Something's off. Can I do something to help you?" And Nehemiah said, "Well, my people, my city, and everything's a mess, and the walls are falling down. I want to help them. I feel so bad." And then the king says, "Well, what can I do? What do you need? You ask me anything at all, I'll give it to you." And Nehemiah went, "Just a second, Father." And he prayed right there on the spot. I love that. Jesus prayed for others. We can pray for others. And we should. Fourthly, in Matthew chapter 26, as we kind of wind down here, Matthew chapter 26, this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden is just riveting when we get into it and when we read and we imagine Christ and what he was enduring, what he was going through. And there's many things that we can draw out of this, but I want to look at just a couple things. Verse 36 of Matthew 26 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee." Right? When you're going to pray, you want a little thunder, you bring those guys with you. He always reminds me of the sons of thunder here. So away he goes into the garden a little further. It says, "And began to be sorrowful and very heavy." This is our Lord now. He's about to go to the cross on our behalf. The enemy is, I'm sure, working against him in ways we can't imagine. There were angels that were sent to Christ after he finished praying to minister to him because he was so exhausted mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I don't understand it, but he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The sweat dripped off him like great drops of blood falling off his face as he prayed there so fervently in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some, by the way, and I don't know which is true and which isn't, it says in the text, as it were, great drops of blood, but some suggest that he was so fervent in praying that there's this thing that happens where blood vessels sometimes can break and the blood trickles out and mingles with the sweat. I don't know. I'm just sharing that. Either way, the Lord Jesus Christ wrestled in prayer. And this is the point. Sometimes we wrestle in prayer. It takes effort to pray. I thought about it today that the things that keep us from prayer are the reasons why we need to keep praying. They're often the reason why we have to keep praying. the busyness of our day, the discouragement that we feel, being tired, being worn out, being frustrated with life are the reasons why we need to pray. And often those are the things that keep us from prayer. You know, we need to pray in order to pray. Prayer needs prayer. It sounds funny, but it's true. Prayer, our prayer needs prayer. Lord, help me to pray. Give me time to pray. Help me as I wrestle in prayer to make time to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ wrestles in prayer here. Look at verse 38. It says, "Then saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." He finds them, of course, sleeping. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Now, we're not focusing on this portion of text for any other reason than the reason of prayer. But just think of that. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, "Father, if there is any other way," he's about to go to the cross. He knows what he's about to suffer. He knows. We don't know. We know about the physical pain that he went through, but he knew what he was about to suffer. He was about to become sin for us, taking our sin on his body, the stripes on his back for my sin. And so he's here and he's praying and he says, "Father, if there's any other way that this cup could pass from me." But then he ends with, "But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine will be done." He wrestles in prayer and he says, "Lord, I want your will to be done." I jotted down that prayer is fighting. It's fighting. You know, often that's how we attack or defend. We go to our knees and we fight in prayer and we pray against those principalities. The Bible says we wrestle not in Ephesians against what? Flesh and blood, but against the principalities and those powers of darkness. And they wrestle and they fight against us. And so when we pray, it's often an effort to pray. And we wrestle in prayer, and we fight to pray, and we fight to have that time of prayer. And it takes effort, and it takes strength, and it can literally wear you out as it wore out the Lord Jesus Christ, just communing and focusing and praying and talking to the Lord and being real with him as we do. And as I said, sometimes our prayer takes prayers. Lord, help me to pray. Help me as I pray. And prayer is hard because of the enemy that works against us. The Lord Jesus Christ wrestled in prayer, and we will too. If you find prayer a hard thing to do, it tells me you're doing something right. Because the Lord is there, but the devil's not going to make it easy for us to remember and to see him. He's going to work against us, right? Someone knocks on the door, the phone rings, the dog barks, the kids are crying, the pot's boiling over, and we just sat down to pray with the Lord. and that sometimes is the way it is. So we have to fight, we have to make effort, we have to put work into it, and it wears us out. And it's a sacrifice, but it's pleasing to the Father, and it's so necessary that we pray. Verse 39 and 44, just as we close, he went a little further. He says, "Oh, my Father," as I read already. Verse 40, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And there's truth in those words. We all can relate. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And knowing that, we have, you know, what there used to be a show I watched as a kid, and at the end of the show they would say, knowing is half the battle. That's what it was. I think it was G.I. Joe. Knowing is half the battle. And there's some truth to that. Knowing is half the battle. Knowing what the Lord Jesus Christ just said is half the battle. That the flesh is weak. So we work with effort, we work with might, we wrestle because of that weakness in the flesh. But then it says this, verse 42, "He went again the second time and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." There's that flesh. "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then rise, let us be going." Just as we close, the last point is Jesus prayed much. It's bad grammar, but it's a biblical truth. 3 times, Now, I would understand why Elijah would have to pray seven times, because he's Elijah, right? Just like Tim has to pray seven times, maybe 27 times, maybe 57 times, or at least that's what I might think, because it's just little old me, and I got faith that's only this big, and I make so many mistakes, and I stumble and fall, and I'm not as faithful as I should be, so I've got to really buck up and pray a lot more so that God will hear my prayers. Is that true? No. There's no biblical premise for that. Number one, and number two, Jesus prays three times in a row. Did the Lord not hear him the first time, the Father? Of course he did. And the second time, and the third time. And yet he still prayed. He prayed three times in a row for the same needs. You know, it tells me that, and I mentioned Elijah, you know, he prays seven times. Every time he prayed, he looked for the rain to come. It didn't come, so what did he do? Well, that didn't work. No, he prayed, well, pray again. And he prayed again, and he prayed again, and he prayed again. And eventually, what happened? The rains came. The rains came. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed much. He fought, he stopped, and then he wrestled again. And then he stopped, and he wrestled again. And he did it three times in a row. Just one example. So, talking about prayer, we're all out of time. These are just some of the things that we can see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed much. He wrestled in prayer. He prayed for others. He made time for prayer. And he prayed first. He asked the Father for what was needed first before he went off into that thing that he was doing. And so we follow those examples. And if we're going to ask the Lord to teach us to pray, I believe these are some of the things that he might show us. And we can see it in the text, in his word. So I hope that would be an encouragement to you. But church, I know that we pray. And just keep it up. Keep on praying. It's pleasing to the Lord. You know, there's going to come a day when we won't pray the way that we are right now. When we go to be with the Lord in glory, it won't be necessary. This is a season that will not be eternal. Though we'll always be in communion with the Father as Christians, we'll be in his presence and we'll talk with him and all that. But this intercessory prayer, this special season of prayer that we have is for a limited time only. And you know, the Bible says things like our prayers, the prayers of the saints are saved. And in that censer that Revelation talks about, the prayers of the saints are precious. The prayers of the saints waft up like a sweet savor before the Lord God. The prayers of the saints are valuable. They're special. They're honoring to the Lord God. Imagine all over this globe, especially on a Sunday night or a prayer meeting night when all of the believers are praying. What that must sound like to the Father in heaven to have thousands and millions of born-again Christians just uttering continuously, praying without ceasing, praises to God and help these people, God, and honoring God and all of these things. And he deserves that. And we get to be a part of that. So prayer, what a privilege. Father, we thank you for the evening. Thank you for the day. Lord, for the time and the effort that these folks have put into being in your house. Lord, being an encouragement to one another. Just from being together. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray you'd bless each and every one. Give us, Lord, a good week. Allow us, Father, to be used by you and to take opportunities, Lord, where we see them to be faithful, to share Christ, and to demonstrate his love. But then, Father, we just pray. Even as those disciples asked, we ask, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to find, Lord, those special moments to come before you and just to pour our heart out, to know you a little bit better, to be more intimately involved in that prayer life with you. So, Father, we just thank you for this privilege of prayer. We pray that you would continue to encourage us as we pray. And thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, that your timing is perfect. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for the day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to close by singing one more time.